This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher. It's about news, information, ideas, and tips for living life over 55. First, 60 seconds of Do You Remember?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for a very warm reception. It was 144 years ago that members of the Democratic Party first met in convention to select a presidential candidate.
From Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, that is Barbara Jordan, died in 1996, an American politician, leader of the civil rights movement, the first African-American elected to the Texas Senate after Reconstruction, the first Southern black female elected to the United States House of Representatives, and the first African-American woman to deliver the keynote address at a Democratic National Convention. Well, hi, everyone. As we start moving into a new year, I think what great timing for this latest podcast with the New Year's resolutions. We have an amazing opportunity to tie that into a real inspirational idea from a new book that's entitled Life Reimagined, Discovering Your New Life Possibilities, is written by Richard Leider. Now, he spells his name L-E-I-D-E-R, and his book can serve as a starting point to help reimagining our life and redefining the meaning of life's second act. Now, we talked to Richard, and we're going to talk to him in a moment, but this podcast is not just about theory, as we have another guest today. His name is Al Wilson, and as we learn about his second act, he actually is on his way. And there are many examples of others who are on their way to their second act, and it's also in Richard's book. But first, Richard, thanks so much again. It's really an honor. Your name has been associated with this wonderful concept for a very long time.
Well, I've been actually studying the second half of life since the first half of life for me. So four decades, I've been, as a psychologist, as a writer and researcher, looking at vitality and vital aging, and looking at particularly the psychological, philosophical, spiritual side of the topic. And I'd say that in a nutshell, what I looked at is that there are three fundamentals: money, medicine, and meaning. Money meaning enough, whatever that means, and for a good life, and medicine meaning health, not necessarily pharmaceuticals, and meaning. And meaning is just as fundamental, as we now know, to the immune system and to longevity and health and happiness as money and medicine. So my specialty is meaning and helping people find a reason to get up in the morning, and I've been studying that for many decades now.
Richard, your book certainly reflects all the time and work and study that you've put into the topic. And again, we're so appreciative of you being here. And as we mentioned, we also have another guest who is going to really give us a real-life example of someone whose life was reimagined. Al Wilson, thanks for joining us.
Well, you know, I spent my... I'm 58 years old, 59 in March, and... during my, from my 20s on up, for most of my adult life, I spent raising my children, but I always had a desire and passion to be involved in entrepreneurship, and but it just the timing just was not right. In my 50s, I had opportunity, got exposed to the sport of rowing, and that just opened the opportunity for me to develop a product, which is the calf protector for rowers that I developed. I've always been one who took care of my health, and where I'm currently employed at the National Science Foundation, I manage their wellness and fitness and wellness program and manage their gym. So I'm always involved in looking at ways to reach an optimal health, but also finding something I can do once I retire, and I feel like I'm in great shape, and that's a priority to me, and I just wanted to start a business and do something different that I had a passion for, that energized me, and as Richard indicated, it gave me a reason to get up in the morning to start my day, and that's basically where I'm at right now.
Richard, in your book, Life Reimagined, you interviewed lots of people just like Al. Do you find his story seems to be underlying current of motivation is pretty much universal?
Well, the stories have some universals in them, but they're different, and that is that the new book that I just co-authored, Life Reimagined, Discovering Your New Life Possibilities, note that, first of all, everybody is an experiment of one, and some people are pushed by pain to make these kinds of choices, and other people are pulled by possibilities, by what can happen, and Al seems to be pulled. And none of us is immune to triggers in our life, financial, health, relationship, caregiving, children, etc. So sometimes we're triggered by the outside world into making these kinds of choices, like Al made, and sometimes we're pulled by, well, what's possible? What could I do in the next phase? What have I thought of or dreamed of that I want to now act upon? So everybody's an experiment of one, and yet we all have our own ways into the choice-making. But there is definitely a movement going on, and at midlife, we've added 3 decades in the last century to our lifespan, and those 3 decades, people are wondering, so what's the point of the exercise? What's out there? And so midlife today is... you find millions of people, boomers, who are neither young nor old. They're in that mid-ground between, and they're still, as Al said, feeling healthy and feeling entrepreneurial and feeling whatever they're feeling, but they're neither young, like they don't want to go back, and it's not anti-aging, it's not trying to hold on to the past, nor are they old, so they're not ready to retire or do, you know, put up their feet in the rocking chair. So millions of people are in the what's next moment.
Al, for so long you say you focused entirely on raising a family and didn't have time to venture out, and now you do. What were the feelings when you decided to take that initial step?
Kind of the fear of the unknown and stepping out at this stage of life and making an investment in something that I didn't have a lot of experience with. You know, utilizing the internet and reading about startup companies and also about entrepreneurs who, even at my age, who stepped out and have become successful. And I did have an opportunity to read the book, which I have right in front of me. And one of the things that stands out most to me is when it's on the cover that says Discovering Your New Life Possibilities. And I can just really relate to that because that's important to me. And so I was apprehensive. I felt kind of like I was alone stepping out. But once I got to the initial phase of developing my product and I started making a few sales, and my confidence really built. But reading the book provided me a lot of encouragement and even additional motivation. And I could relate to a lot of things in the book that Richard and Alan touched on. So I think I went through most of the typical things. The fear of the unknown probably was the most. It wasn't the risk of the money. It was just the fear of stepping out at this stage of life into something new. Especially
one of the things we say about that in the book is that everybody is an experiment of one, but isolation is fatal. Going it alone is not a great idea at any point in life, but particularly at this inflection point like Al's pointing to. And so I'd be curious. No, we suggest that to make good transitions, we need a sounding board. We need some people who are kind of like our kitchen cabinet, who have a committed listeners and catalysts who inspire us, and perhaps wise elders or other teachers who've been on the path before us. Did you have that kind of kitchen cabinet, Al, as part of your decision process to help you overcome the sort of the barriers or the fears?
I didn't, because most individuals that I knew in my circle of friends, they weren't necessarily thinking like I was. But I did have one individual, a friend of mine, who actually opened up about 10 Dunkin' Donuts at the age of 52. And and him and I would sit down and brainstorm. So he was kind of a role model for me in the sense his risk was much greater than mine, but to see him become successful. But he gave me some inside knowledge about the business, but also some words of encouragement. But I think for the most part, you know, during the nights that I would stay up late working on my project, I really felt alone. And even though I had my family's support, no one could understand my passion for what I was doing but myself. So I did have quite a few difficult times keeping my spirit uplifted during this process, and I didn't have that sounding board really available to me as much as I probably could have used.
So did you, when you felt down, did you go out and row?
Well, you know, most of the time I felt down was 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
You know, when I was up late at night trying to find a manufacturer to produce my product and things like that. But once I developed my prototype and I started to utilize it myself, then my confidence started to build. And, you know, once I allowed somebody else to give it a try and I got such positive feedback, then I became more motivated. And it just became more empowered.
So, Richard, you brought up the importance to Al of not going alone. What other points might you share with us for other people who are ready to venture out and to try life reimagined?
Step one is reflection. There needs to be a certain push the pause button, step back, look at what is it I really want. And in the old story of aging and retirement, has gone by the wayside for not everybody, but many boomers. And there's a new story. And so the second step after looking at, well, what is the new story? What's possible? What do I want? Is to connect. And that doesn't mean you have to have a sounding board, although that's useful, but having at least one committed listener, somebody who can you can bounce things off of that's not fixing you, but is caring enough to help you figure it out yourself. And then the third step is exploration. And here, people, we wrote a chapter in the book called Get Real. Because a lot of people said, well, Life Reimagined, that's nice, but it sounds like it's for the privileged, and I'm not one of them. Or it sounds for people with money, and I'm not one of them. Or people who've got support at home, and I'm not one of them. And we went on to say that exploration costs nothing. To get out and actually look at the opportunities, even if you're working full-time or whatever, to look at what's possible is the manifesto of exploration is choice, curiosity, and courage. And those are that's an essential mindset to vitality, to feel like you have choices, even if you are limited in certain ways, and to feel curious about yourself, of course, and what's possible, and then to have the courage to explore a little bit. So those are a few things. There are other practices along the way. But those three are essential.
I think it's safe to say that we're going to be hearing a lot more of this whole concept or notion of life reimagined. And Al, I understand that you launched a group that is called Life Reimagined to help other people who want to explore this as you have.
So what happened is that about a month ago at my job, I did a seminar, Life Reimagined, where I showed some of the video clips from Life Reimagined that I downloaded offline.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then sharing my experiences, and I keep my product with me all the time. No matter where I go, I carry it with me. And I shared my experiences at this phase of life, and I try to provide encouragement to my coworkers. And I talk about Life Reimagined all the time, so in about another month, we're planning on having another seminar at my job again, and I would like to possibly invite someone in to speak about Life Reimagined, or you know, someone else beside myself who stepped out, you know, at this phase of life and did something different and new. So that's where I'm at right now. But I talk about it all the time with my friends. And trying to encourage them to, life reimagined, and, you know, again, about the possibilities of doing other things, something new.
Richard, in my perusing through the book and looking at some of the chapters, some caught my attention, particularly this chapter 9, with the title Repack, What to Lose and What to Take. Could you expand upon that a little bit?
Yep. The Repack is the, we talked about the first three steps of reflect, connect, and explore, and then choose something to maybe explore deeper. And at a certain point when one starts to get like Al, into making a move to really build a product or to move whatever it is, go back to school or volunteer or whatever. Repack means to pause and say, what is it that I need to let go of? What's in my way here? I wrote a book. I co-authored a book called Repacking Your Bags, Lighten Your Load for the Good Life. And that book sold over 1 million copies now in 21 languages. And the metaphor is worldwide. The people are repacking. It's a step in the reimagining process to, and you could repack your calendar, for example, by letting go of certain things that you no longer want to do or need to do. Or relationships you might need to unpack. Or literally your house or your stuff that's in the way. So oftentimes people say, I don't have time. And I say, well, maybe it's time to unpack your calendar and look at what's in the way, or other things like that. So it's a very tangible thing. The place that people go almost first on the website when they go to the Life Reimagined website is Repack. It kind of looks interesting to people, and it seems tangible, and it seems fun. So there's a lot of ways to repack.
This whole repack notion could also influence how you look at your friends and possibly even family.
Well, and friends, I don't know, Al mentioned it doesn't mean you have to ditch your friends, but be interested in your comment on that, Al, because oftentimes we have friends who are situational. We worked with them, and they seemingly are friends, but then when we don't work there any longer, we don't see them. And or we try to, but we still don't have the same connectivity. And so sometimes it's interesting to just look at where are our new relationships that really energize us and which relationships drain us, and which ones listen and which ones don't. And so there's a lot of ways to look at this notion, but none of it's easy to make these new choices.
And another message that I hear is the importance for people to gauge their own journey based on their own efforts and their own success and failure, not on others.
Well, that's right. And everybody's on their own timetable. They have their own inner clock. And so the one other thing that people sometimes resonate to is when we say, don't let age become your identity. Age is just a number, particularly as we're living that much longer, and many, not all, but many with more resources, more health, and more choices. And so age is only a number, and people will say, well, I'm 65, you know, what do you expect? And, well, it isn't what I expect, it's what you expect, and don't let yourself be boxed in by that number.
So we're almost out of time here. It's been really interesting, you guys, and I appreciate your time. Al, as we close out, tell us a little bit now what you're doing. As I mentioned earlier, it sounds like you still are holding on to your regular job.
Yeah, right now, I currently have my regular job, and the product and being involved in crew, I'm also coaching high school rowing. I'm a head coach for a boys' crew team, and I'm also a president of a rowing club, so all this started from 5 or 6 years ago when I got into the sport. And I also...
You're a poster child for Life Reimagined, truly. If I had met you a year and a half ago, I would have tried to interview you for the book because truly inspiring.
Yeah, and it's been... I'm just amazed at the things that has transpired. You know, I've even become friends with Olympian named Jason Reed, who's a gold medalist, and we've become good friends. And so all this has taken place, but I agree with Richard on the repacking. One of the things I had to do is kind of look at my life, look at, I had to, things like declutter, you know, kind of eliminate some things in my personal life, because I found that those things was interfering with my thinking process and also planning what I wanted to do. So repacking, I felt, was real critical for me, just to take a broad scope of my life.
What were some of the larger decisions you had to make in repacking?
Well, I think for me, one of the things that I found myself, I had been spending so much time looking at TV, and that became real wasted time. And I also found that I had things that in my home that I was not utilizing anymore, that were just there. And those things seem to just, you know, you come in into a particular room, it just clutters your mind. And
yeah. So
those were things that I just had to clean and get rid of papers and things I just was not using anymore.
Yeah.
And it kind of freed me.
It's liberating, isn't it?
It's very liberating. And now to be able to not have to deal with that anymore, it really just opened up my mind and it kind of cleared my path into moving in the direction that I'm moving in right now.
Well, as I said earlier, some people are pushed by pain out of that mindset, and others are pulled by possibility, but everybody gets to choose. But we talk about a concept, and we named it very strongly because it's what it is, and we call it inner kill, the art of dying without knowing it. When we lose our sense of choice, our sense of curiosity, our sense of courage, and we start talking to the same, going, driving the same route every day, or talking to the same people about the same things, or watching TV, kind of numbing ourselves, measurably impacts longevity, health, happiness, and ultimately, our life is not as rich as we'd like. So, with Life Reimagined, what we found is that there are millions of people who are not, that's not what they're up for. They're up for this new phase of life. In the new phase of life are these three decades between about 50 and 80. I think a lot of people fit that pattern you talked about with the old world the way it was. And things are, we're sort of in between times now. We're in between the Industrial Revolution, when people worked hard physically and at retirement age, they were cooked. They needed to put their lunch pail down and take a cruise and relax. And they didn't live as long. Well, now people tend to be working with their minds. Not everybody. We're all different. But in many ways, whether they're pushed or pulled, they're making choices with these three decades to do things that they didn't have time to do before. And many people, the fastest growing entrepreneurial cohort in the country is 60 and over. So Al's pretty close to the norm there, and more people using the internet, more people doing a lot of things in the older age cohort. And so I think we're in for a new era, and I think the story you point to is still true for some people, but it's changing quite rapidly.
It's been really interesting, guys, and I want to thank you for your time. Again, the name of Richard's book is Life Reimagined, Discovering Your New Life Possibilities. Thank you, Richard, and Al, you've been an inspiration.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
you.
Appreciate
the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. And finally, we would love it if you'd register to receive our newsletter. Thanks again.